Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Those who receive Christ, who believe in His name, become part of the family of God. That is, you must be saved. You must turn from your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, I urge you to do it now, to do it today, not tomorrow.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Today, we're concluding our study on the miracles and teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew by exploring the differences between those who belong to the family of God and those who are living in darkness. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12 and join Pastor John Monroe for his message, Confrontation and Confirmation.
Do you sometimes feel that you're in a spiritual battle? That you're fighting against the darkness? We see this vividly with the coming of Jesus the Messiah, as He increasingly is in conflict with the religious establishment. The Pharisees and other leaders have not only criticized Jesus, now they're conspiring to destroy Him. The forces of darkness are reaching a fever pitch. We know their hatred against Jesus will climax in His being nailed to a cross. But in the study of Matthew, not only are we seeing these confrontations, but evidence of those who are in the family of God and walk as children of light. Listen today and resolve to stand firm against the powers of darkness.
The problem is not with the evidence. They have all of the evidence. The problem is not with the teaching of Jesus. He's a master teacher. What's the problem? The problem is their evil, hard hearts. And says Jesus, you've got the sign. You've got the sign of the prophet Jonah. Remember Jonah, the runaway prophet? He's told to go and preach repentance to the Ninevites. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, fierce warriors. History records that they literally skinned people alive. Anyone signing up for that mission trip? You're going to people, and if they don't like you, what do? They skin you alive. Is there another go trip I could go on? Yes, there is. There's a boat, in fact, going to Tarshish. And so Jonah jumps on the boat, runs away from God. He doesn't want to go to Ninevites. Who would want to go? But God hasn't finished with Jonah. Remember, he gets thrown overboard in the storm. And right there, there's a great fish. This kind of submarine in the Mediterranean, not the yellow submarine of Ringo Starr, but another submarine. And it's right there, a big fish, and it swallows up Jonah. And for 3 days and three nights, he's in the belly of the fish. As Jesus says, Jesus believes the story. It's not a whale of a tale, it's a tale of a whale, and it's true. And Jesus is giving authenticity to the story of Jonah. The whale throws up Jonah. And what does Jonah do? He then goes to Nineveh. What's his message? It's a tough one. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. If you don't repent, God is going to judge you. And an astounding thing happens. Miraculous thing. These hard warriors, these pagans, they repent at the preaching of Jonah. That's your sign. What's the point? The Ninevites, the pagans, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But something greater in Jonah is here. Something, and certainly someone, not a prophet of God, but the Son of God, God incarnate, is right there in their midst. And you're not pagans. You know your Bible. You've heard the evidence. You've had opportunities much more than the Ninevites, and you still have not repented. That's the point. The Ninevites repent. But these religious leaders and that generation are so hard that they continue in their unrepentant hostility to Jesus. The sign of Jonah should have been enough. No, Jonah didn't perform a sign. He is the sign. And Jesus will be 3 days and three nights, verse 40, in the heart of the earth. And He will be raised from the dead. Jonah came out of the great fish alive. Yes, he's a prophet of God, but someone greater than Jonah something, the kingdom of God is right in your midst. That's greater than Jonah. In Jonah's case, there was a kind of, we could say today, a virtual resurrection. He was thrown up by the fish. But with Jesus, there's going to be an actual bodily resurrection of the dead to demonstrate that he's truly God. Yes, they're going to crucify him. Yes, he's going to be buried. But on the third day, he's going to be raised from the dead as the living God, demonstrating that he's greater than the forces of darkness and is alive forevermore. And this one, the very Messiah, is in their midst, the chosen servant of God who brings salvation. He's greater than Jonah, and you still don't believe. And you still want another sign? Furthermore, verse 42, Jesus talks about the queen of the south. Who's she? She's the queen of Sheba. She's also a Gentile. Where does she come from? She comes from probably what we know today as Yemen, down in Arabia. And think of this woman. She hears of the wisdom of Solomon. He's in Jerusalem. He's hundreds and hundreds of miles away. She hears of his wisdom. She hears of his wealth. And she says, I've got to go and see this man. And so she travels, not by air, not by car, by camel. And she brings camels all that way in the desert. Can you imagine going all of that way through what we call Saudi Arabia into what we call today Jordan and finally into Israel? And she has this meeting and she has time with Solomon himself, the wisest man who ever lived. And what's her response? This Gentile queen, this woman who's not raised like the Pharisees in the Old Testament scriptures, but she's open to God. She's seeking truth. And as she leaves, she said, you know, the half has not been told. His wisdom is far greater and his riches are far greater than were reported to me when I was in Sheba. This is amazing. And she blesses the God of Israel, a pagan woman. And at the day of judgment, she's going to arise, says Jesus, and she's going to condemn this generation. Think of the little privilege that she had and she believed. And think of the great privileges you've had as the Pharisees and you still do not believe. And behold, someone greater than Solomon is in your midst. Yes, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. But now in their midst is God himself, who's all wise, who knows everything about everything. He's there right in their midst. And still they are opposed. Still they're going to destroy him. Still their hearts are harder. And they're looking for a sign rather than listening and responding to Jesus. Turning from the truth hardens the heart. Is that true with you? Is your heart hard? Think of all of your privileges. Many of you have been raised in a Christian home. Many of you have sat on these pews for a long time. But perhaps you still have not repented. Perhaps you're still arguing with God, arguing with others, saying, I want a sign. Notice the story Jesus tells, verse 43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. And then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it, think of this, seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also it will be with this evil generation. Turning from the truth hardens the heart. And Jesus gives this rather strange parable, illustration of the unclean, restless spirit leaving the person. He cleans up the house, he leaves the house for a while, and he goes back, and the house is in order, and he brings with it seven more evil spirits. In fact, more evil than itself. So the last state of that person is worse than the first. See, there can be no neutrality in following Jesus. Some of you, as it were, have made such adjustments in life, have cleaned up your life, as it were, but you've never experienced the supernatural power of God. You've gone through the formalities of religion, perhaps, but your heart has not been changed by the Spirit of God. See, there can be no neutrality regarding Jesus. You leave the house empty, as it were, and there's going to be problems. You want to sit on the fence. You say, well, one day I'll make up my mind. When is that day? What more evidence do you want? What's your problem? Why are you waiting? This is an individual who may have made some changes but has never responded to the power and the truth of God. I've seen people like this. They are drawn, as it were, to Christ. They come and they even enjoy the worship. They sing some of the hymns and the contemporary songs, and there's something about the Christian faith, and there's something about the church, and there's something about Jesus that attracts them, and they come, but they only go so far. They're attracted at some level, and you could say they're on the very edge of the kingdom of God. Outwardly, they seem very, very close, but they don't accept Christ. And I've seen people like that go back and back and back into the darkness. And their subsequent condition is worse than it was before. You see, how does that happen? You know, the Word of God is supernatural. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And the Word of God, as you read it at your home, as you're exposed to it, perhaps in a Bible study, as you listen to the preaching of the Word of God is either softening your heart or hardening it. It's the same Word. It's like the sun which melts the butter and hardens the clay. The sun is unchanged. The properties of the sun don't change. The truth is the same. Two people are sitting here. One of them, their heart is soft. The other, the heart is hardened. The truth, as it were, bounces off them. They're always thinking of an objection. They're critical over it. Or perhaps they're saying, yeah, that's true. There's something in that. I must explore that further. But they never trust Christ. I ask you, well, why are you sitting on the fence? That sin in your life, that darkness in your life, why do you continue to play with it? You know it's wrong. And the difficulty is, if it isn't dealt with, it'll take over your life. Get right with God today. Get on your knees today. Repent of that sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, not tomorrow. What more do you want? There's no more sign. There's no more evidence. You've heard it. The question is, will you trust Christ? Will you live a life in the light? Finally, in verses 46 through 50, we see those forgiven are in God's eternal family. How wonderful. And obey God. Verse 46, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Boy, these are encouraging words, aren't they? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Those forgiven are in the family of God, the eternal family of God, and obey God. Now, over these last few days, most of us have been with our family and friends. That's wonderful. We value the family, our actual family. I certainly do. But Jesus is saying something very profound, that the spiritual family, the family of God, is greater, is more important than the physical family. Now, notice incidentally, I'll just touch on this, Jesus has brothers. Refers to his brothers, his mothers and brothers standing out, verse 46. In Matthew 13, verse 56, we read of the sisters of Jesus. So, the idea that Mary is perpetually a virgin has no biblical support. But what is the point that Jesus is making here? Is he being disrespectful to his human family? No, he loved Mary. He's going to make provision for her right from the cross as he entrusts her to John. No, Jesus loves his mother. We are to honor our father and mother. That's not the point. The point is this, that spiritual relationships are eternal and have a higher priority than human relationships. Jesus is going to say that if you can't leave your father or mother and follow me, you're not worthy of me. That our love for Christ is to be number one. Of course we're to love our family. Of course we're to honor our parents. But our first love, our primary love, is to love Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when that is right, everything falls into place. You say, well, how do you get into the family of God? How do I get into the family of God? I've got to be born into the family of God. I've got to be born again. Have you heard that expression? Jesus says, unless someone is born again, they won't enter, they will not see the kingdom of God. What is the Father's will here? It says, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister. What is the will of the Father? Jesus answers that question. A very good question. I hope you're asking it in John 6. John 6, verse 40. Here is the will of the Father. John 6, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father. You listening? That everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's it. This is the will of God for you. This is the first step. This is the essential step. That you look on the Son. That the Father is saying, look at the Son. Trust my Son. Put your faith in my Son. Turn from the dark and embrace the light of my Son. And when you have that, you have eternal life. That those who receive Christ, who believe in his name, become part of the family of God. That is, you must be saved. You must turn from your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you done that? Some of you come here and you say, well, I was brought up in this home. I was a member of such and such a church. That's wonderful. That's not the question. Do you personally know Christ? You point to a time when you cried out to Christ for salvation and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. If you haven't done that, I urge you to do it now, to do it today, not tomorrow. Now notice what Jesus says here. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister. That is, now that I'm in the family of God, I am to obey God. I am to resemble my family. Two brothers were playing the guitar, John Brannan and his brother, whose name I don't know, visiting. And Goodney, beginning of the service, says to me, they must be brothers. How would you know they're brothers? If you saw them, it's obvious. When I came in, I saw the one who wasn't a member here, and I thought John must have trimmed up his beard and done something to his hair. But they look so similar. I could invite some of your families up here and line you up, and it would be obvious that these children are all in the one family. Why? There is a family resemblance. Retaining their individual personality, yes, being different, certainly not identical, but there's a family resemblance. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there is that family resemblance. One is, we don't speak evil words in the context. One is, we obey the Savior. Jesus himself says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. There's the test. If you love someone, you seek to please them. If you love someone, you don't disregard what they say. That's not an act of love. You listen to them. You want to spend time with them. That's a characteristic of true love, even in a human relationship, isn't it? Singles, if you're dating someone and you're beginning to fall in love or are in love, you want to spend time with that person. You value what they say. You want to get to know them. You don't insult them. You don't abuse them with your words. And as we follow Jesus, something wonderful, under the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're becoming more and more like Jesus. No, I don't mean physically. And how wonderful to see that, of people who are becoming more and more like Jesus. And isn't that what our world needs? I think our world is weary of our words. Wonderful to go around saying, I'm a Christian, but much better to display it with your kindness, with your love. Yes, speaking the truth, not being a wimp, absolutely not. Standing strong for Christ, not compromising, not going into the darkness, but living a life of righteousness and displaying the beauty and the glory and the excellency of our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we follow a lovely Savior? His words and his actions as we read. And as we read him, we love him more and more and say, I want to be like that. I want to be someone who brings blessing and healing and kindness to that person. So I ask you, you say you're a follower of Christ. Is there a family resemblance? Are you like the Savior? Do you know how the wonderful privilege of being a Christian is that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you? I know God loves everyone, but God has a special love for those in his family. Parents, I know you love the neighbor's kids and you love me, but there's a special love you have for your children and certainly your grandchildren, don't you? And our Heavenly Father, once we're in that family, he's a special love for us and he cares for us and he watches over us. And we have instant access into his presence. Someone called me yesterday with a terrible emergency and I prayed with the dear woman. And what do? We go to our Heavenly Father and say, we can't handle the situation. We don't know what to do, Lord, but you do. Help us. Give wisdom. Guide us. What a privilege of coming into the very throne room of God in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And God never says, well, you didn't make an appointment. He never says that. He says, you come boldly in your time of need. And as a member of the family, this is incredible, isn't it? We are joint heirs with God. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that the Father gives to the Son, he gives to us. That we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That this is my Heavenly Father. I'm part of the family of God.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Confrontation and Confirmation. Today, we're ending our study in the book of Matthew on the miracles and teaching of Jesus. So stick around for John's closing remarks. With all the frustration and confusion and division in our world today, many people are struggling to find peace and security. Questions about truth, right and wrong, and why it all matters seem to be mounting all around us. And we need to be clear on what God says. That's why John just wrote a new booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Learn a bit of his personal testimony as he carefully examines Scripture to give us a better understanding of what it means to be saved and answer some very real questions you may have about your faith. This new booklet is completely free by mail or download. Request your copy today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. We also want to invite you to play a part this year in sharing these daily biblical messages. With your generous donations, you're helping us share God's Word with new listeners each week, all around the world. To send your financial gift of any amount, just visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, you'll also find details for joining our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. No matter where you're listening from, you can join us each Sunday through our live stream online. Just visit our website at calvarychurch.com. Now, with closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you repented of the darkness in your life? When you're confronted by the truth, don't turn from it. That hardens your heart. That will put you further into the darkness. Instead, repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's message concludes our study of chapters 8 through 12 in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, don't miss the next time as we start a new series looking at the fascinating book of Jonah.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.